Have any of you ever been at a place in life where you feel like, you know, I just can't take anymore. Just can't take anymore. I'm worn out. I just can't take anymore. Now, you don't have to raise your hand and say yes, but I've got a feeling maybe all of you have been there or close to it at some point in time. And maybe you kind of started feeling guilty about feeling that way. Well, that's a good thing. Because you shouldn't be feeling like that. And then people come along, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've gone through, and you don't. You're right, I don't. And I'm not asking you to tell me, because we've all gone through, you know, stinky stuff, whatever that would mean. We're going to talk about that tonight. So if you could turn over, no, a better question would be, if you would turn over. I know you can turn over. Psalm 103. While you're turning there, one of the things that bothers me is when I am reading what supposedly experts in theology and biblical matters will take almost everything in the Old, almost, not everything, but almost everything in the Old Testament, and pretty much identify it as being only for those times, back then. And when they explain a passage or whatever, like, every now and then, you know, I'll look at a commentary, it's like, I'm wondering, okay, what is this person saying about this? I just want to find out if they're right. And so many times they're not. I'm thinking, how can you be like this with all of your education and all of your study and all of the Greek and the Hebrew that you know and so forth? How can you say that? Well, this, what we're getting ready to read, is one of those passages. Because what we're going to read, yes, it was relative for the time it was written. But it is massively prophetic for the body of Christ. Because, see, in the Old Testament, God dealt with man according to the law. Well, after the law was given. But at the same time, what he spoke to those folks back then may have seemed like, okay, well, this is for us. But yet, remember, when Jesus was dealing with religious leaders, there were times when he said, is it not written? And he'd make reference to something in the Old Testament that was prophetic for him in that day. And the Apostle Paul did the same thing. It is written such and such. And remember when Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he met with the apostles and it says he opened their understanding. Well, it's like, boom, the light went off. And they begin to realize, oh, wow. So that's what was meant by, and that's what this was talking about. And remember the two on the road to Emmaus? And they didn't recognize Jesus. And Jesus says, well, fellas, what's going on? Why you look like you're down? They said, well, haven't you heard what happened? And they began telling him, well, you know, Jesus and crucified and so forth. And the Bible says that he, from the law and the prophets, he started explaining to them about the Messiah. And we have this little bitty tiny synopsis of what he said. We have no idea how long he talked with them. And then they all sat down to have a meal and all of a sudden he was gone. And they looked at each other and said, you know what, that just might have been Jesus. Now, that's not how it is in Scripture. You know, weren't our hearts stirred within us when he was saying, well, the book, the Old Testament, Don't ever dismiss it, whatever you're reading, don't dismiss it as simply being, okay, that was back then, but I'm living today. Okay, all of that in mind, let's start reading here, Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. All right, we'll stop right there. What we just read is for you. Today, right now, this is for you. Yes, it was nice back then when David wrote it. But this is for you. This is for me, right here. Now let's take a look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. This represents a total focus on the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Well, obviously, He's not speaking of your physical person. He's talking about everything about, you know, your mind, your emotions, your thoughts, and so forth. Focus on the Lord and bless Him. Worship Him. Exalt Him. Acknowledge Him. Give Him glory. That's what this is talking about. And it's so easy for us to, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. A lot of Christians can quote from this, actually word for word quote this, but it's almost like a passive statement. When God is saying, I want to clue you in on something here. Before we go any further, bless the Lord, O my soul. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Focus on Him and bless Him. Worship Him. Exalt Him. Praise Him. Give Him glory. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Right there is a key, a powerful key. And then he continues, though, and says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Keep blessing Him. Don't give up, O my soul. Stay focused on the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. All right, so then think for a moment. What are His benefits? You know, if somebody, well, I'm saying this, okay, His benefits. Okay, but what do you think of when you think His benefits? What do you think of? Because another way to say that is, and before we go any further, I am not going to be going through and giving you Hebrew words, but I will be giving you definitions as they apply in the context of what is written here. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. In other words, call to mind all He has done for you, all He offers you, what He has promised you. Now, where are you going to find that information? In the Word. That's it. The revelation of His benefits, it's written right here in His Word. You know what that means? It means we need to get in His Word to find out what these benefits are. Because you see, you can have preachers stand up and throw a verse out and start telling you what they think it means. They might be right. They might not be right. You know, they take passages about prosperity. They'll take passages that aren't talking about give to get. but turn them into give to get, preach them up big time, then receive an offering, and everybody thinks they're going to get blessed, but in reality, they're not going to get as blessed as they think, because what was presented was not really a benefit. You know, if you get a job and they tell you, well, now, you know, you'll have time off for vacation and so forth. But, I mean, if you just decide, if somebody tells you, well, hey, you know what, next Monday is Boogie Woogie Day, and, you know, we got the day off. And so you don't show up for work. And the boss calls you in. The next day you show up, and the boss says, where were you yesterday? And you said, well, I was told that since yesterday was National Boogie Woogie Day, that we had the day off. And the boss is going to look at you, and who told you that? Well, and then you tell him who told you that, and the boss says, you know what? We've got the employee manual right here, and we gave it to you when you got hired. And there's nothing in here about National Boogie Woogie Day. There's nothing in here about National Donut Day. Now, there is something about National Pizza Day, all right? And rightfully so. You see what I'm getting at? We can come up with ideas about, well, God's benefits, what they are and what they aren't. And I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of Christians who are living lives that do not reflect a knowledge of God's benefits, what He's done for us, what He's offering us, what He's promised us. They'll actually deny them. Well, you know, God broke my legs for a reason. Well, what reason? Well, He had to teach me something. Well, what did He teach you? I don't know. So He wasted His time breaking your legs. Well, I guess He just had to lay me out on my back for a while. Somebody actually told me that one time. Well, He just had to lay me out on my back, put me in the hospital for a while to teach me something. And I'm thinking, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I wasn't exactly the poster child for parent or children obey your parents, all right? But my dad never once broke my legs. Boy, you need to be laid up for a while. He never did that. If anything, He would have warned me about potential activity that my legs could have been broken. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, there's a reason parents tell their kids, don't play in the street. They don't want the kids to get hurt. But the way some Christians talk, God's saying, hurry, there's a car coming. Run out there. Well, see, there's no benefit in that. That is not from God. And He's saying here, forget not all His benefits. Well, you can't forget what you don't know. So therefore, if you want to be blessed, just get in the Word and find out what He's promised us. This is what God has said, I'll do this and I'll do that. And don't ignore the promises in the Old Testament. Well, blessings for obedience. Well, that was back then. Wait a minute. You telling me that obedience today doesn't at least get me the blessings that He promised Israel about obeying the law? I mean, come on. Especially since we have, you know, better covenant, better promises. I would think I at least have the good promises from back then. At least. Well, He says, forget not all His benefits. And then what happens next? He begins a brief review of the benefits. Just brief. Forget not all His benefits. And in case you have, let me remind you. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now this first part, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Okay, do you know what that means? You say, if anybody says no, I said, well, okay, we got some work to do then, don't we? Who forgiveth all? You know that word all? You know what that means? It's amazing. It means all. You know, it's not talking to laundry detergent here. Oh, it's talking about every single one. Who forgiveth? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? All of them. He forgives them. All of them. So as you're sitting here right now, unless you've been a bad boy or a bad girl recently and don't care about it and you haven't repented, okay, everything's forgiven. You understand? Everything's forgiven. Everything is forgiven. And I'm telling you right now, the devil will want to hammer you on this. I mean, there are times where something will happen. It could, anything. Something could happen. And somehow, that something connects to an event of my past where I was a total jerk, did something wrong. I'm talking about going back to childhood, okay? And, I mean, used to, oh my goodness, that just, it would just get on me. And I'd go into a mental funk for a while. Just, man, I'm really down on this. Well then, finally one day, God just, He got kind of firm with me. And He said, it's in the past, it's over, let it go. Now, He wouldn't have been like that if He hadn't been trying to get that across to me for a long time. Finally, like my mom and dad, Jimmy, sit down right now and listen to me. All right? Well, that was the God version. It's over. It's in the past. Now, does that mean it's never happened since then? Oh, no. It doesn't mean. What it means is this, that when that takes place, and I start to, those old feelings of, oh man, that starts to try to, work its way back in. It's like, no, right then, no, it's over. That is in the past, it's over, I can't change it, I'm forgiven, it's done. And I'm not going to receive this. You know what, that works? Really, it does. It's amazing. It works. I take authority. It works. He forgives all your iniquities. Now, there are a lot of verses we could use to go along with this, like in the New Testament. Well, let me read this one to you. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That phrase that I will remember no more, that doesn't mean that God has a delete button in His memory. In the Greek, that's a legal term. And what it means is, I will never again hold you accountable for those things that you did. Never again. I will never again hold you accountable. In other words, today we would call it double jeopardy. You go to court, you're found innocent, well, they can't try you again. And God is saying, look, you're forgiven, all right? I mean, the blood of my Son, it's dealt with it. You are forgiven, and I will not recall your iniquities against you ever again. Never again. So then, how much time have we wasted, each of us, how much time have we wasted repenting for the same things over and over and over? God, I'm sorry, and this time I really mean it. I mean, I know I said I really meant it last time, but I'm not so sure anymore. But this time, God, I really mean it. I repent. Well, guess what? A few months go by. God, I've been thinking about something, and I just want you to know I'm really sorry that I did that, and I repent. God, I repent. He comes back and says, you did that here not too long ago. Yeah, I know I did. I said, but this time I super mean it, all right? I mean, I mean it more than I've ever meant it before. God is so patient and merciful, because in the natural, our response would be, will you shut up? Would you just forget it, would you? That's not the way God is. He has forgiven us. Now, we in here, we may be thinking, okay, I get it, can we move on? But what you don't understand is there are a lot of Christians out there struggling with this. I mean, struggling big time with this issue. You are forgiven for everything. Totally forgiven. And the second part of this, who healeth all thy diseases. Now that's the second time in this verse he's used the word all. Healeth all thy diseases. That word diseases, sickness, affliction, you know, just whatever you would think along those lines. He healeth all thy diseases. In other words, he makes healing available for all your diseases. You can't heal what's not being battled. You understand that? Like as I stand here right now, there's like a boatload of illnesses that I don't need to be healed of because guess what? I'm not dealing with any of that stuff. But the healing is there. The healing is available. And this kind of goes along with Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him, meaning Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Elijah in the prophet. Well, I'm stumble-tongued tonight. Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay, there you go. There it is. He's prophesying healing for everything. You know there are Christians who don't feel like they deserve to be healed? Well, yeah, but you know what? No, there is no yeah, but you know what? No. This is the love of God. Healing for everything is available. Now, the one thing that you don't get right now, and that is your mortal body being made immortal. So we're dealing with a Genesis 3 body, and a Genesis 3 body is susceptible to stuff, just the way it is. But healing is there. And you know, I'll be the first to admit that in my life I've been too quick to accept certain illnesses, diseases, afflictions, as though they can't be healed. For example, autism. Autism can be healed. Absolutely. Autism can be healed. Any kind of anything, it can be healed. I've seen articles every now and then of children born like without arms. That's okay. From God's perspective, that's not a permanent condition. Not at all. Jesus healed everybody who was maimed. You know, everybody that went to him for healing, they received this healing. It doesn't matter the physical deformity. Healing is available for that. Peter and John, they ministered to that fellow that was lame. Remember that? You know, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so he did. And when you go back and you read that passage and it's talking about that man's healing, all these people come around and Peter was saying, hey, you know, it's not us. Our power didn't do this. It's, you know, faith, the name of Jesus and so forth has made this man, has produced in him perfect soundness. Perfect soundness. That means this guy was healed. I mean healed. When God heals people, like when Jesus ministered to people, there is perfect soundness. You know, think about it like this. Somebody born blind, and they suddenly get their vision. They've never seen anything before. Never. Which means instantly, not only did they receive their vision, but instantly their eyes were accustomed to light. You know what it's like? You're in a dark room, somebody flips on the light. Ah! Okay, the people born blind that were healed, instantly, their eyes were adjusted to everything. The people that were lame and their lameness was healed, instantly, all the muscles in their legs, their feet, were strengthened. And not only that, but they had balance. Instantly, they had balance. And they could run, jump, leap, and that's recorded in Scripture. Everything that is a product of Genesis 3 can be healed. And eventually, the day is coming when the mortal is going to be made immortal. And these bodies are going to be eternally glorified. Praise God. But between now and then, we have healing until the day comes when we just close our eyes for the last time, step out of this body. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. So, He healeth all. Everything, all. And we deserve it. Well, why do we deserve it? He said so right here. That's your "I deserve it" phrase, right? I mean, He said He did it. So we deserve it. Everything. Absolutely everything. And look what else He says in verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And this is really interesting because when you read it, it can come across as being, okay, well, you know, He protects me from something, I guess, and, you know, He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. How poetic. But this is prophetic for us. Now, let me help you understand here. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And I've kind of rephrased that using definitions from Hebrew words, okay? And how it's appropriate for us. Who, by the act of redemption, delivers you from both the grave through resurrection and eternity in the pit of corruption. The pit of corruption. That's eternity in hell. The pit of corruption. The redemption that only comes through faith in Jesus. Now that part I added because it's talking who by the act of redemption. Well, then the question comes up, okay, well, what kind of redemption? Well, since it's prophetic for us today, that redemption only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So He's saying, I redeem you. I will redeem you. I will redeem your life from an eternity in a lake of fire. All you have to do is put your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. This is how the redemption takes place. And then when He talks about crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, this is talking about, in essence, what we become when we get born again. In other words, we become the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And it says here, the tender mercies. In other words, He's saying, I extend tender mercy to you as opposed to harshness toward you. I will be kind and gentle to you. Now, when there's a time for correction and for you to be rebuked, I'll deal with it. But I'm not going to send a biker gang to beat you up to do this. That's not how I operate. Tender mercies. He's a loving Father. And this is what He's trying to get across to us. And in verse 5, He says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And it, you know, one of the things that I find very curious is why certain phrases were written the way they were written in the Bible. They must have had a different kind of meaning back in the 1600s. Nevertheless, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Well, this isn't simply talking about He's going to give you a really good hamburger, you know, or a real good pizza, or Grater's ice cream. No, that's not what this is talking about. It is symbolic. In other words, think of it this way. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. That whole satisfieth thy mouth, one of the biggest needs for human existence is sustenance. So this is imagery of whatever you need. I will take care of it. I'll be there for you. You know, Jesus said that God knows what we need even before we ask. In Scripture it tells us that He will provide. He'll be there for us. God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things and abound unto every good work. He never promised everybody would be a millionaire, But he did say he would help us. Our problem is this. And all we get, we've all been caught up with this at one time. Maybe not anymore. But a need arises, and then we start trying to figure out what we can do to meet that need. Well, it's a financial need. Okay, what can we do? What can we do? Well, we got to do something. Got to, you know, instead of going to God, okay, you know, Father, you said that you would supply. You said you would help out. And admitting, you know, I've got this tendency, God, to want to do it myself, to try to figure it out myself. I go on the internet, how to make money quick, all this other. And, I'm sorry because I'm not trusting you the way I should. But I'm trying, Father, and here's this need. I need help. You know, please help me. That's all he needs. He may not help us the way that we would like him to, because we all have these ideas in our mind about, now here's how it's going to work. Here's how God's going to bless. Here's how he's going to move. And it's not wrong to have those kinds of ideas, except, you know, you have to leave it to him. You know, God, here's how I think it ought to be, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Let him handle it. Hand it over to him. And he says that the youth is renewed like the eagles. Years ago, I heard this taught, something along these lines, that when an eagle reaches a certain age, it knows it's getting older. And so it will fly up to the top of a mountain or something and find a ledge, a rocky ledge, and it will, you know, beat its beak against the rocks until the beak falls off, like pluck its talons out and pluck some feathers out and so forth, so that new talons grow and a new beak grows and new feathers grow and its youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know if any of you ever heard anything like that before, but, oh yeah, it's kind of popular. Well, I did more research about that. Eagles don't do it. That is not true. No matter what you read, no matter who teaches it, no matter who wrote it, it's not true. And if you doubt me, just go online and look up these nature expert websites about eagles, and they're going to tell you it doesn't happen that way. That is a myth. Where did the myth get started? I don't know. But it's a myth. But he does say, your youth is renewed like the eagles. And what I did find is that this the term eagle is very symbolic throughout Scripture. It represents strength and endurance and so on and so forth, okay? And so he says that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, remember how we started this? You ever felt like, I can't take anymore? I just can't bear it anymore. I've had it. He says, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay, when you think of youth, what do you think of? Energy. Not even like little children, just, you know, in their 20s, 30s. You know, energy and just go, go, go. And, you know, when you get older, like some of the people in this church, you see folks like that, it's like, I remember when I was that way. And I get it. The body gets older. There can be limitations as far as what you do. But what he's saying here is this. Again, it's imagery. He's saying one of the benefits is that I will strengthen you to endure whatever you're facing. I will strengthen you. So, let me ask you this. What gets you the most? What is it that just, I mean, when it happens, you just get flustered, you know, and you start getting into that, I just don't know how much more of this I can take. I'm getting tired of this. Sometimes you even say, I'm getting sick and tired of this. Well, that's because you're not letting your youth be renewed like the eagles. Because God is saying, look, this is a promise from God. He's saying, I will move in your life so that no matter what you're going through, no matter who is irritating the stink out of you, no matter what you're tired of, I will strengthen you to get through it. Meaning, in part, I will help you with my strength to overcome those emotions. Because that's what it is. It's just emotions. Emotions tearing you down. And he's saying, no, I'll renew your youth like the eagles. How many of you remember, or maybe nowadays you think about, like younger people, happy-go-lucky, not a care in the world, right? Uh-huh. Well, again, imagery here. I will renew your youth like the eagles. And he says here in verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Let me just read this to you, the New Testament version, okay? It's Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Praise God. He executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I can't take it anymore. God could say, read Romans 8, starting in verse 31. You can take it. You can take it. But you got to trust me. Now, I want to show you a parallel passage to this. It's not the words aren't exactly the same, but the message is the same. It's over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and pick it up in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? In other words, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Meaning, he's not going to bail out on you. He never gets too tired of you. He never cops the attitude of, I wish you would go away and leave me alone. You know, I'm trying to solve the problems of the world, and here you are bellyaching about everything you can think of. No, he fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. Meaning, don't even try to figure him out, because you can't. His mind operates at a level you're nowhere close to. So, you know what? Just accept he knows best. And then he says, look at this. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Are you seeing a parallel to what we just read over there in Psalms? And he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Meaning, in the natural. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He's telling you here, look, it doesn't matter what you face in life. I'll do this for you. I'll renew your strength. Your youth will be renewed like the eagles. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to fly above the problems. You're going to run. You won't be weary. You'll walk and you're not going to faint. You're going to make it. You will make it. Now, there are three keys, though, to seeing all this happen. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship. Worship. Forget not His benefits. Where are the benefits? In the Word. Meditate in the Word. Isaiah 40, look here, right there in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's the third key in all this. Wait on the Lord. In other words, don't take off trying to solve all the problems and then tell God to follow you and tell Him, God, I can handle this, okay? Let me show you what I can do. And God just kind of snicker and laugh, shake His head, because He knows what you're going to do. You're going to stumble. It's not going to work out the way you thought. Then you're going to go back to Him. Well, God, I thought. He's going to put His arms around you and say, I know you did, but you were wrong. So you know what? Stay here with me for a little bit, all right? Let me renew your strength. Let me help you with this. When those times come up, doesn't matter what the situation or who the problem is, here's the key. But see, the frustration will try to rise up. The anger, the I can't take it anymore, that stuff will try to rise up. At that moment, bless the Lord. I bless you. Worship Him. Worship Him. And between those I can't take it anymore times, spend a little bit of time in the Word. You know, get those benefits embedded on the inside. And then, it's not really a bad idea to every now and then turn off the phone. Or, you know what I'm saying? Lay it down. And just spend a little time with Him. 5 minutes with God is better than 5 hours on the TV. Well, everybody knows that. Yeah, but does everybody do it? I trow not. I want to live daily with my youth renewed like the eagles.